Concerns from local black leaders about the legalization of marijuana and how police will treat people of color even if it does happen.
Because there would always be that need, the assumption that they're carrying it. They are users.
That's the local NAACP's Linda Foster. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is GLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Wednesday, May 15th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from GLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with what legalized marijuana could mean for Central Illinois. McLean County voices from across disciplines came together last night to discuss their hopes and concerns with Illinois' legalized marijuana proposal. GLT's Mary Cullen has more.
Brendan Bukalski is a defense attorney in McLean County. He says the expungement policy in Illinois' proposed marijuana legalization measure won't be as broad-sweeping as a lot of people believe. Bukalski says there are parts of the expungement statute that the public has not paid attention to. In particular, the statute denies expungement in cases where possession was not the sole offense.
The vast majority of those folks, when they were charged with possession of cannabis under 2.5 grams, also were in possession of a pipe, or what the law calls an item of paraphernalia. That means that that person is not eligible to have that offense expunged.
Bukalski says there is no disagreement that the drug war disproportionately impacts minority communities, and he says it's likely the law will not have an impact on policing. That's part of the reason the NAACP stands strong against the legalization of recreational marijuana in Illinois. Linda Foster is president of the local NAACP chapter. She says her organization questions the real impact of the proposed measure. Foster asks what legalized cannabis would look like for the African American community.
We believe that there will still be contact. African American will still have contact with law enforcement because there would always be that need, the assumption that they're carrying it. They are users.
Foster says the NAACP believes despite legalization, the disproportionate arrests of blacks will continue to grow.
Until there's a plan that's put in place that we can see to determine and also to have an input in. At this point, we have no input.
She says the measure as it stands does not fully explain what law enforcement can and cannot do. And until it does, she says she will have to assume things will not change. For The Leadoff, I'm Mary Cullen.
And here are some other stories we're following in the GLT newsroom. One of McLean County's newest programs aimed to address mental health is a step closer to reality. The County Board's Executive Committee has given its approval to a contract with Chestnut Health Systems for FUSE, which stands for Frequent User Systems Engagement. That's aimed at those identified with severe and chronic mental health disorders. Mayor Terry Renner says he's got at least one supporter for plans to revamp aging O'Neill Pool and turn it into an aquatic center. Police Chief Clay Wheeler. Renner says the City Council could move this summer on a budgetary amendment to put the O'Neill project in motion. And farmers are delaying planting across the Midwest because of wet weather. As of May 12th, only 11% of corn and 4% of soybeans were planted in the state. These stories and more at WGLT.org. This summer, State Farm is expected to finalize the sale of its former headquarters building in downtown Bloomington. The end of an era, but not the end of all that stuff inside the building. I recently visited State Farm's archivist to learn how they preserve important stories and artifacts from the nearly 100-year-old company.
I don't get a lot of visitors in the basement, unfortunately. A lot of people don't know I'm down here.
That's okay, because a big part of Buck Farley's job is to bring history out into the world, to find stories and actionable research hidden in drawers and old binders. That said, he does occasionally get a visitor.
One second.
Sure.
Hey.
Hi, Mr. Rust.
Look who it is.
One of the best storytellers.
How you doing? That's Ed Russ Jr., the retired CEO of State Farm, a.k.a. one of the most powerful people in Bloomington-Normal for a lot of years. He stepped down in 2015. Rust popped by, unscheduled during my visit with Farley last week.
How are you?
Fine.
I boxed up your office. Did you see that?
The one thing I was going to say...
Well, Buck, I got to put on my skeptical journalist hat, because before I asked you, do you get visitors very often in the archive in the basement, you said, no, nobody comes to see me in the basement. It's I'm all by myself down here. And then literally Ed Russ Jr. just walked down here just to say hi and to pick up something. So I guess that happens sometimes?
Yeah. Mr. Rust and I have been working very closely together since his retirement to preserve his legacy at State Farm and to tell his story and his family's story. Obviously, the Rust family has had a huge impact on State Farm and its success today. I'll probably have a close relationship with Ed now for a while because he has a lot of history to tell me.
And Farley had a lot of history to tell me. We spent an hour walking around his archive underneath State Farm corporate headquarters. They've got nearly 60,000 unique objects in this collection, plus millions of photos and thousands of hours of audio and video. Farley went to Illinois State University, hoping to be a history teacher, and he worked as an archaeologist. 5 years ago, he became State Farm's archivist. He admits it's a little different being a historian at one of the biggest companies in the world, rather than working in academia or at a museum.
Telling the stories of the past to people and seeing their eyes bright up when an understanding comes across their face or a connection clicks with them. Telling somebody about how we expanded across the United States as a company, and then they're sitting there and going, that is the coolest story I've ever heard in my life. It's making insurance interesting for people and getting them to fall in love with who we are as a company, you know.
You can hear more from Buck Farley and read the full story right now at WGLT.org. Before we let you go, the District 87 School Board meets tonight at 6:30. They'll get an update on the new BHS Advisory Period pilot program they've been running, and they'll hear about a proposal to turn Sheridan Elementary School into a community school that would provide more holistic family support services like what's already in place at Fairview and Cedar Ridge Elementary Schools. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.